Hey guys, welcome to today's episode of Fit Friends Happy Hour. Take a big inhale and an exhale, because chances if you are listening to this episode, you probably have some sort of stress. So today we're going to talk about how to practice self-care and be kinder to yourself and manage it all when you are a little stressful. All right, on to the show.
Welcome to Fit Friends Happy Hour with your hosts, Katie Hake and Lauren Wrighton.
So right before we started recording this, we were talking about how our world like glorifies stress. Like how many times a day do you hear someone say like, oh, I'm so tired. I'm so stressed out. Oh, I have so much going on. Like it's really a constant from so many people that I encounter like on a regular basis.
And I myself am so guilty of it. And I find definitely in the workplace or not even work, just like everywhere you go. It's almost turns into like a comparison, like, well, I'm busier than you. Well, I'm more stressed than you. Oh, you're tired. Oh my gosh, I'm so tired. Why do we do that?
Yeah, I'm so guilty of this too. And I am working on, well, I'm definitely working on saying I'm not tired. And I've gotten better at that. Because in my eyes, it's my life's not getting any less stressful. And also, I'm not going to miraculously not be tired. So I just don't want to talk about it anymore. Like, it's just annoying.
But I feel like even if I got 8 hours of sleep, I got up and got my workout in, like, even if I actually feel great, it is such instinct if someone in the office or around me is like, oh, I'm so tired. I always am like, yeah, me too, even though I'm not. Like, which if you think about it, that's weird. And what we tell ourselves is what we end up believing.
Yeah, and sometimes David will text me like, oh, I hope your day's going well, and I'll like want pity, and I'll say something like, oh, well, it's okay, and then some days I can tell that he like thinks, for whatever reason, I can tell that he thinks I'm going to like complain, and instead I'll be like, oh, no, actually, I'm having like a great day. I try to, like you said, like try to actually be honest, like, am I tired? No, or yeah, I am tired, but like maybe I'm not going to say that.
Lauren, when you're stressed, like when you are at the peak of your stress, ready to be in tears and just burst, what does that look like for you?
This is really easy for me to describe because literally I was there 2 days ago. And part of it in this specific situation was that we had some family staying the weekend at our house. And as much as I love like really everyone in my family, people in my house overnight, that's when my introvert comes out. Like I need alone time. And I've tried to think this through on why it bugs me so much, and I can't figure it out. Like it's just that I'm an introvert. It just really stresses me out having people stay over like for multiple nights in a row. So anyway, I was experiencing this just a couple days ago, and what it looks like for me is I get angry. Like I get really like annoyed and I want to take it out on David. And what I chose to do this specific time was like not to talk to him, because I am like, I'm really good with my words in a bad way. Like I can be mean. And so what I've chosen to do like in the past year or so is to like try to remove myself from a situation before I like say something mean, because I always regret it and I hate it. So I was in a really bad mood, and I like, he would kept asking me like, how can I help you? What's wrong? And I was like, I really just need some alone time. And I like just removed myself from the situation and didn't stop texting him and like, you know, that kind of thing. So for me, when I'm stressed out, I get really mad and I really just like need to go to sleep, if that's even possible.
Yeah, I feel like we definitely take it out on the people closest to us, especially when they're just trying to help. Maybe it's because like they're the one person that you can, that they won't, like, they're not going to get mad at you. They're not going to, at the end of the day, it's going to be fine.
Totally agree. And like, David is just like Joey in the way that like, they're so supportive that it like, when you're mad, it's like almost annoying. You're like, I just want to be mad. And you're like making it harder for me to be mad. I've also noticed that, and this is not uncommon, but I've noticed like right before vacation, I'll get really stressed out and I need to be better about recognizing that anytime a big event is coming up, vacation, birthday party, whatever that is, that I should remove stuff from my plate that week. But I have yet to be good about that. So what do you look like when you're a stress ball?
I know for me, I try to just almost like ignore it, and just tell myself, I'm fine. And I let everything pile on my plate. And then I find myself, I just want to add more. Like, I know I'm in a bad spot when I start really lacking sleep, because I get to the point where I say, okay, and in retrospect, this makes no sense, but I say, okay, I'm really stressed out because of this, and I think I've identified it, but then what I'll do is I'll say, okay, so I'm going to wake up an hour earlier and work on this. When what I'm end up doing is I just end up burning the candle at both ends rather than one end. And I usually get to the point where it's something stupid that I probably start crying. Like, when I'm by myself, I get like, I kind of get quiet and just like don't want to talk, and kind of like you, mean and angry and bitchy. And like Joey would be like, what is your problem? And I'm just like on edge and just don't want to talk. And I just like breathe really deeply, and I just like, I feel it, but I don't express it. Do you know what I mean?
For sure. And just recently, like, I let myself cry and I like didn't even do a single thing because I was so like annoyed and upset about being that stressed. And I'm also like always really self-aware in the moment of stress ball. I know that like it's all of my doing. Do you feel that way?
Oh yeah. I think that's part of why I get quiet, because I know I'm bringing it upon myself, and then it almost turns into like this guilt and like, poor me, like I work so hard, no one sees it. And there legitimately have been times where like my eyes twitching, and it's just like, that's stress, like physical forms of your body telling you that is stress and something's got to give.
For sure. So let's go over our tips today on how to practice self-care and also just manage like stressful situations, because at the same time of like the negative feelings that are saying, it's also good to be busy, feeling like you're making an impact, and not just busy, but productive and feeling like engaged, I think is a better word for me, is I want to be engaged with like life. So sometimes that means you have a little bit more stress on your plate, but how can we manage that stress?
So the first tip, if you haven't already, as we're talking about this, identify what that breaking point looks like and really start to think about how you can implement these tips before you get to that breaking point, because we all know that never ends well. So the first tip is find your favorite way to relax. So when you hear that word relax, what comes to mind? Is it a bubble bath? Is it a low impact, long workout with music and no one else? Is it sleep? What does that look like to you?
And take time on this. Like, I just talked to someone the other day that said that it took them years to figure out what their relax activity is. Like, really ask yourself, like, what is it for you? Not like, oh, bubble bath. Okay, that's what people say, so that's what I'll do. No, figure out what it is for you. Right now, for me, it's definitely working, because I have to do something that completely takes my mind off of everything else in my life. So, like, focusing on one thing that's not kids and all my other responsibilities, that helps me to like truly relax. What is it for you right now?
I think it depends what I'm relaxing from. Like you said, my way of like unwinding for me, like what I need to recharge from work is working on my own business, right? Because that's my way of almost like a creative outlet. But if it's just everything at once, then sometimes for me it's like mindless watching TV, which I feel like a lot of people do that, but I never watch TV. So for me, sitting down and putting my phone away and watching an episode of Chopped or like browsing on the internet, like giving myself permission to just not even online shop, just like, sounds a little weird, but like surf the web with the TV on, because I never do that.
Yeah, I totally get you. That's a hard balance too, because it's like if you never do it, then it really is relaxing. Right. But then there are also times where you feel like that's like all you're doing in one day. Yeah. And oh, I hate that. That's the kind of the day that I was having. All right, we have to interrupt this episode with an update. While we were recording, we had a technical issue and we kept talking, but we were not being recorded. So by the time we were done and we realized that
all of what we had said hadn't been recorded, we decided, you know what, we're going to finish this later because it was already late at night. Well, since then, both Katie and I's patience has been really tested, and we've really had to use these techniques.
It was like a sign that that happened, because it was almost just like we just went and read through and discussed all these stress relief techniques, and then it was like, wait, but that didn't record. We just talked for like an hour about, not for nothing, but I think it was a sign from God, like, okay, now you need to practice these for about what's coming up for your next week. So what happened to you? Why was your week so stressful?
I had a client that just like no boundaries, emailing me, calling me, leaving voicemails, just too much. So, a little added stress. Nothing compared to you, though. Tell us about what happened to you.
Yeah, so I don't know if I mentioned this on the podcast, but I know on Instagram I was talking about how my car that I've had for, you know, a decent amount of time, put some good mileage on it. It was making crazy sounds, and it was going to cost a lot more to fix than I wanted to. So I said, okay, scratch that, not drivable, got a rental, and decided I was going to get another car. So I ended up getting a used car, but, you know, new to me, newer than the car that I had before. Drove it for 2 days and thought, this kind of sounds weird. I'm going to go get this checked out. And basically, they were like, yeah, no, we can't fix it. It was the transmission was bad, which I know nothing about cars, but if you know something about cars, apparently hearing you have a bad transmission is like the last thing you want to hear. So whatever, I say, okay, you know, screw this. I'm taking it back to where I got it. Like, this is baloney. We need to get our money back, you know, whatever. At this point, I had to get another rental car because the new car was in the shop. I didn't have a car. So, and my other car is like parked on the street, waiting to just, I don't know. That's another stressor. Like, I'm not dealing with that. And so I'm pulling out of the parking lot from where my car was, you know, going to get fixed. I was going to drive it to this other place where they were going to, you know, take it back. And as I'm pulling out, it just stops. Just stops. And then starts raining. And I think God was just like crying for me. And the poor auto man had to get out of his car and push me into the parking lot. And then I had to get the car towed. And yeah, it's just been a nightmare.
The thing is that car troubles are so frustrating. It's like what you're explaining times 10.
It's never convenient, right? Like it's always happens at the worst time. And so yeah. I'm just rolling with it at this point. Brought the scooters back to downtown Indy. So they have these scooters that you can just, you know, scan your phone and go. And so I think I'll just have to scooter around until winter.
I love that idea because you're like someone that doesn't travel lightly. So like, I love the idea of you having like a scooter, but then like another scooter with your stuff.
I am bag lady. That's for sure.
We have to laugh about it. But you really have had a positive attitude. Like, as annoying as this has been, you've been like, well, this sucks, so all right.
I've been practicing that, you know, when something crappy happens to you, you just, you know, you take ownership. And a lot of these tips that we're going to go over, I think talking about them last week and probably going over them again is a good thing for us. So let's get back to, we left off with talking about kind of our finding your favorite way to relax. So what's the next tip number two?
Tip number two is quiet time. Oh my goodness. I love this one. Quiet time. So this might be different for everybody. You know, you might want to pray, you might meditate. It might just be like alone time in the car. But I think there's a big focus here on no TVs, no screens, like no phones, like just having those moments of silence so that your brain can decompress and you can kind of reorganize your thoughts.
Even if this, I know for me, sometimes if I know that it's just going to be a crazy day at work, like for me, it's just when I pull into the parking lot, even if I'm running late, just like turning my car off and just, okay, breathing, either trying not to think about what I have to do, but even if you have to kind of think and organize, like, okay, this is what my day is going to do, or looking over my journal, like writing things down, you know, but the key is quiet time and by yourself.
Yeah, definitely. So number three is one of our favorite things to do, and that is to commit to removing one thing you shouldn't be doing anymore. So you know what that is. You know that thing that you either dread doing every single week, or you know that you should have left for whatever reason a while ago, or doesn't make sense in your schedule. You know, like a great example of this is if you're a group fitness instructor, you have this class and you know, like, why am I still teaching this class? Like, it's way out of my way. It takes me way too long to prep for it. It doesn't make sense anymore. It's not helping me get to X, Y, and Z. Well, we want you to just commit. Like, you can do it. Get rid of that thing today or this week. Make moves to remove that thing that you just, you know, you shouldn't be doing anymore.
Pull out your phone, cancel that meeting, make that phone call, send that email, because you're going to feel so much better when you have something off of your plate, because chances are you're doing that thing or whatever you're committed to. Chances are you're doing that for someone else. You're doing that because you're a people pleaser and you said yes and you don't want to let that other person down. So you need to own up and do something for you because it's not lining up with your priorities in this moment.
And one thing that you and I talk about, Katie, is if this is a job, which sometimes it is, that you are replaceable. You know, we think with us being young, you know, we don't have like 20 years of experience doing something. And the truth is that you might feel really guilty leaving, but they'll be able to find someone. They'll be able to do it without you. And if it's not the right thing for you anymore, then it's time to go.
Right. Or if it's bringing you more stress than joy, then time to peace out. I love when you told me that you are replaceable. That's like one of the best and worst things to hear, because in our heads, I think too, that maybe this is a millennial thing, but we're like, I am awesome. I am the shit. Like, nobody can replace me. Nobody can do my job like I can. And true, but also not true.
For sure. And this was not something that came from me personally, because I feel like I am irreplaceable because my parents raised me with a big ego. But it was my dad who told me that. Like, Lauren, stop thinking that these like job decisions are so emotional. They're not emotional. You know, you are replaceable. And I'm like, wait, what? Dad?
What do you mean the organization isn't crashing down without me?
Right. It's like, I've been doing this job for 9 months. You mean that they can find someone else?
Mind blowing. So the next tip number four, is do something for someone else. And I know we've heard this before, but like, how often do you actually do it? I actually did this today because I was feeling stressed and I actually read it. I'm doing this email challenge. It's like I get Dave Ramsey emails, and one of it was talking about, you know, stressing about money but like bringing the emotional piece back to money and like how good it feels to do something for someone else. And so I sent you and another friend like $5 to Starbucks because as much as it probably made you feel good, like it made me feel even better just because I'm like, oh, it's a surprise and how fun.
I love $5 gift cards to Starbucks. Like, there is nothing more simple. There's like not a more simple pleasure than that.
I love sending them to friends too, because it's kind of like I wish we were having coffee together. So here, I'm buying your coffee. Like, in my head, it's a coffee date.
For sure. And my favorite thing to do here is just to reach out to someone. I mean, if I am in like a meh mood, then just reach out to someone and say like, hey, how's it going? How's like this thing treating you? Or how's the new job? Or how's like reaching out to someone and then like them kind of infusing their energy back into you. Like, oh my, it's so awesome. This week has been great. Like, of course, some people have then their own problems that they'll tell you and you can like maybe help them and stuff, which is also a distractor. But I think for me, it's usually not because I have like really bad stuff going on in my life. It's because I'm just in a stuck spot. So I need to like refocus on like I need to refocus my energy on just like helping someone else or celebrating something with someone else.
And we all know those friends that you can just call and you instantly get put in a good mood after talking to them. And we also know those friends that you call and it turns all about them and they're like a fun sucker and you find yourself on that level of like, well, no, my problems suck just as much as yours do or even worse, right? Like they're kind of like Debbie Downer and you almost have to like, no, my life is worse. So call the person who will lift you up.
For sure. Or just distract you, like you said. Like that's sometimes all you need. So our next one is something that you already said about your car situation, which is take ownership over the facts. Take ownership over what you can take ownership over. And then use that to just move you forward. Because with the complaining, which, you know, a little bit of complaining is nice, but with the complaining, it's a cycle that you can't really escape. You know, you could complain about how sucky the situation is with your car all day and all night, and you have reason to. Like, a lot of people would say, like, yeah, complain. But you wanted to move on. You didn't want to sit in that, like, sucky spot. So you're like, you know what? You know, I could have done this, or I could have done that. And not I could have in the sense of, like, I made all these mistakes. But you know what? I made the decision to buy a used car, and sometimes things go wrong. So I'm going to sell it. I'm going to try to get as much money as I can out of it. I'm going to buy a newer used car and I'm going to move forward. Right?
Right. Complaining is not productive. Complaining does nothing. It just puts you in a crappier mood, makes you feel worse about the situation, makes people around you feel bad and annoyed. And so it's like, it is what it is. You learn from the situation and you move on. And this obviously is easier said than done. But I don't even remember what book I heard this in. I think it was like Brian Tracy, No Excuses or something, where I learned this and it really stuck with me of just like any situation, it's so easy to blame others. But like, let's say, for example, your loans or something, right? You've got all the student debt and it could be so easy to just like blame that on other people. But at the end of the day, you made the decision to go to college. You made maybe it wasn't an educated decision. Maybe you would have done it differently, but it is what it is. You got to move on and just do what you can.
Yeah, this is resonating with me right now because I feel like I've been really complaining to David. You know how you always like complain to the people that are closest to you? So I can think of like three different things that I've been complaining about to David, and I really need to cut it out. So I get it, message received, and I am going to stop complaining because it's super annoying.
That's hard. And Joey's probably listening to this in the other room saying like, what are you talking about? You've been complaining all week. Because it's true. It's hard. We have that one person who you kind of need to vent to. But yeah, try not to.
Yeah. And just don't do it for very long. Like, don't use them as your punching bag.
Right. Don't be a bulldozer.
Oh, gosh. Different topic that I really struggle with. Okay. What's our next one?
Tip number 6, not so much a tip, but this is more of a fact that you need to remember, is that self-care is not a luxury. It is a necessity and it's essential to avoid burnout. I mean, it's just part of your health. Like, it's something that you need to do and you need to work in.
I think using the term self-care, it immediately makes us think of face masks and time with your girlfriends and bubble baths and all of these things that we don't really need. Okay, we definitely need time with our girlfriends. But do we need a bubble bath? No. Do we need a face mask? No. But really, in self-care, that term is so popular right now, and it's getting a lot of buzz. But I think we need to start thinking about it differently. Like you said, it's not a luxury. It's not extras. It's prioritizing yourself. And that doesn't mean that you are spending 90% of the day on you. It means that you are checking in with yourself and making sure that you are getting fed as you're serving other people.
Yeah, it's not pampering. It's like you said, putting your mental, your physical, I mean, like your wellness on the list. Not even necessarily top priority, but just freaking putting it on the list, because I think so many times, especially I'm sure as a mom, you can probably relate definitely more to this, is you're always putting other people first, right? Because it's like, how could you not put your children above you? But, you know, making sure that you're at least on that list of priorities.
That's such a good way of putting it. It's like just putting yourself equal to the other people in your life. I love that.
It's like that term you've always heard, you can't keep pouring from an empty cup. So if you're not taking the time to invest, and when we say invest, we don't mean always money. Maybe it's time, maybe it's just energy, maybe it's focus. You know, if you don't take that time to invest and fill your cup, you're never going to have enough to give others. And it's not a matter of if you'll burn out, it's a matter of when you'll burn out.
So true. And our last one is really a question. Have your excuses turned into your beliefs? So have you been telling yourself a story for so long that it's now just an ingrained belief in your head? We want you to really take an honest look at your priorities here. So maybe you say, a great example of this is, I don't have time. For me, a lot of the time I'm telling myself, like, I just don't have time to like shower and get myself ready in the morning. And I know deep down that it's because I don't want to prioritize that. Like, I want to wake up early and I either want to work on my business, work out, chill, make coffee. Like, I can list, read a book. I can list all of these things that I want to do besides pick out a cute outfit, do my hair. That's just who I am. Like, I want to just wake up looking good and not have to worry about it. Is that too much to ask?
I think that's reasonable. But that's a good point, right? It's not that you don't have time. It's that you haven't prioritized that thing.
And if I don't want to prioritize it, if I want to keep it low on the list, then I need to acknowledge that and not tell myself, oh, I wish I had time to get ready in the morning. No, you know, that's just, it's not, I'm choosing to not put it high on the list right now. And that's okay.
I love that you say getting ready, because that's something that I have tried to be a little bit more intentional about. Is it so easy for me to just roll in looking like a scrub to work, because like you said, that's just who I am. But I don't know, there's something about putting yourself together and putting a little bit of makeup on and doing your hair. Like, you just feel like a human being, I think. Yeah. And I mean, like, that right there is a form of self-care. Is taking time to do your hair and do your makeup, as silly as it sounds.
I totally agree.
I feel like another one of these that I hear a lot of is, especially in the gym setting, is people saying like, oh, I really need to do more yoga, or I really wish I needed to do more yoga. It's like, well, what's more important to you? Doing yoga or just getting your workout in? Like if doing yoga isn't that important to you, then like, stop talking about it. Like, stop bringing that up. You know, if it's not important, it's not. Like, it's not a big deal. These are your priorities. If it's not important, stop complaining about it, or stop, you know, telling yourself these excuses of things that really don't matter.
I think we should point out that saying even out loud, oh, I should be doing this, I should be doing regular yoga, I should be getting up in the morning, even though we know that it's not going to happen because we're choosing for it not to happen, that does something to us. I think it's damaging to our like psyche to just be like, oh, I should be doing this, I wish I could do that. I wish. You have control over how you're spending your time. So, okay.
I do this all the time with sleep. Like, I tell myself like, oh, I really need to sleep more. Oh, I really need to do this. But then it's like, I don't go to bed early, and then I still wake up. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't ever change the habit. And so it's like, Katie, clearly sleep is not your priority. And, you know, you can talk about it all you want, but until you actually change your belief of that, no, I understand and I want to make that change, or I want to prioritize it, it's not going to change. So just stop exhausting yourself of saying, gosh, I really need to do this, or I should do this, because again, it's going to lead to burnout and it's not productive.
Yeah, I just did that last night. I stayed up until midnight when my like desired bedtime is 10. Stayed up till midnight, and I got into bed at midnight, and I was like, I really should go to sleep right now because I'm already going to bed late. But instead, I was like looking at my phone and stuff, and I actually had the thought of, Lauren, you're going to be so mad at yourself in the morning when you wake up at 5 and you're tired. And I thought, in my head, right now, in this moment, I need a little bit of relax time before I go to bed. And tomorrow when I'm tired, I'm going to remember that I chose this. And so this afternoon when I was tired, I was like, well.
You chose this.
I chose this. Can't complain now.
You have totally turned into a night owl. Who are you?
I know. I really have.
It's funny how seasons change and just like your habits of how you operate, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I wanted to be an early bird, but the truth is that if for me to really have like some solid work time, I have to do it at night because two things happen in the morning. I either sometimes I'll sleep in, which is obviously annoying, or two, I think I'm going to have 2 hours and I only have like an hour because the girls wake up early and that drives me crazy. I'm like, oh my gosh, I needed 2 hours and the girls woke up an hour early. So now I get my really solid work time done in the evening. And when I wake up in the morning, I can be more relaxed and be like grateful for any moment I have before they get up. So mental shift.
Or do you ever wonder, or do you ever go to plan your day? And I tell myself like, I'm going to work out from 5 to 6 and work from 6 to 7. And then it's like, wait, but you kind of don't factor in. That means I need to be up at 4:30 to be out the door by 4:45 to be physically working out by 5 to leave, blah, blah, blah. So that's a little tip. Factor in your buffers and your transition time.
Yeah, and then after you work out, you're like so like airbrainish or airheadish. You're like, oh my gosh, I feel so great. I should work now. Do 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 do. Like I'm gonna post on social media.
Oh my gosh, that is. If I could ideally like design my day, I would wake up and work out, and then work right after. Like that's like my most creative time I found.
For sure.
I had have tasted that last week when I took the day off to go get the car. We're not going to go there. Stay positive.
Yeah. All right, Katie, let's wrap it up with something that we're looking forward to this weekend or in the next couple of days because we've both had some stressful days.
This weekend, I actually don't have plans, which is a rarity. So I like have learned to just treasure those weekends so much because I just get to catch up on – this sounds so silly, but I get to catch up on laundry and just like – cleaning and, you know, sleeping in if I want or having a long workout or just, you know, catching up on work. Like I get to kind of move at a slow pace and it really helps me to recharge so that by Sunday, like Sunday night, I can actually turn off and unplug and like watch a movie or something or just relax. So I think I'm looking forward to just like a good catch, almost like a catch up weekend and freaking Taylor Swift in 2 weeks.
Yes, we are going to Taylor Swift in 2 weeks. Judge us. I'm so excited.
Judge us or join us. Like,
yeah, I don't even know who would judge us.
If like, you're judging, how'd you find this podcast? I don't know.
Yes, it is September and I love school and I love the fact that it's my birthday month and I love September. So just like good vibes all around. But I have something even more special coming up on Saturday. This photographer that I started using, she does this like special event for this special like breastfeeding photo shoot. And yeah, it is as crazy as it sounds. Everyone gets together at this location. To be honest, I haven't really even looked it up, but I'm going. Everyone gets together and it's like a festival and she takes free photos of like all these women like with their babies and like these beautiful gowns and like you get your hair and makeup done and like pictures of you breastfeeding. So it's like to bring awareness to like breastfeeding and it being like
socially acceptable.
Exactly. But like full disclosure, like I do feel uncomfortable doing it in public. Like I'll do it in front of my friends all day at my house, but like in public I'm not big on it. But like if I'm with a bunch of other breastfeeding moms, like I'll be totally fine.
That's awesome.
It's like kind of hippie in my opinion, but I'm really excited to go. And I just think it'll be like a celebration of like motherhood and I'm bringing my girls and it's going to be fun.
I love that. That'll be fun. Gosh, that's a whole nother topic that we actually could talk about because it's really interesting.
Yeah. All right. Well, this episode I think was really just for us. We really needed this episode.
Again, Two times through. So if you find yourself listening to this episode again, no judgment. Repetition is key for us to remember these habits, to implement these strategies, and to really make them a part of your mindset.
Yes, all day, every day. If you enjoyed this episode, share it with a friend. Share it with your stress ball friend. You know who I'm talking about. And let them know, like, hey, girl, you need to, like, develop some good habits to deal with your stress. Share it with that friend and write us a review on iTunes. We really want to know what you guys think, so share it with us there. And we will talk to you guys on Instagram or wherever you're finding us nowadays. All right. Talk to you guys later. Bye.
Bye.